But let's open to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. And this is the final message in our three-part series, The Seasons of Promise. The Seasons of Promise. And we will have gone through most of the beginning of the book of Joshua, chapters 1 through 6, and you'll have to forgive me, we're going to skip over most of chapter 5, but with that, if you have any questions or wanting an in-depth conversation about circumcision, call the front office, and I will find some other pastor to talk to you about that. But we don't want to cut anything out this morning, so thank you for laughing at my jokes. But I want to start off with the same passage this morning that we've been starting off this series in. That's Ecclesiastes. And it's just a good reminder that God moves in seasons, in different times. So I'm going to read that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time of silence and time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. We're all in seasons throughout our lives. And we've been looking at seasons of promise over the last several weeks, that we need to prepare to take the promises of God, but also that sometimes the promises of God before us are difficult to be taken in our eyes. Can you say amen to that? And as the finale of our series, I want to look this morning at the promise maker. The promise maker who inserts himself, intertwines himself into our stories. And we'll see that in our story this morning in the book of Joshua. Now, you know, with all the things going on right now in personal lives, our families, our nation, we need to make sure, watch this, that we're intimately acquainted with the promise maker. The promise maker. It's one thing to know that there are promises. It's another thing to know those promises, but it's something else entirely to know the one who makes the promises. And we'll be looking today at Jesus, the warrior. We'll be looking at walls, and we'll be looking at a woman. The warrior, the walls, and the woman. About how God interjects himself into our stories. Because how many of you know we are just a small part of what God is doing and wants to do? But God cares about the details. He cares about the details, and more importantly, church, he wants to be involved. Isn't that comforting? He wants to be involved in our lives, in your life. He's not a God who sits on the throne and doesn't care about his people, doesn't care about what's happening. He is a God who not only goes into the trenches with us, but he took your and mine place in the battle of which we were going to die. He is the God who fights for you. He is the warrior God, Jesus the warrior. Jesus, the warrior. You often hear that he is the Prince of Peace. You often hear that he is the great comforter, but church, watch this. It is his victory that he has won that brings you peace. And it is the death and resurrection of Jesus that brings you comfort. He is the warrior God. And it is his power and his authority that we rest in. And it is to that we're looking at the last few verses in chapter 5 before we go into chapter 6, where we see Joshua getting a new revelation of who God is, the warrior. I know we said we were not going to teach much out of chapter 5, but I want to say this, because that previous chapter is on circumcision. Church, you need to be set apart. It is after being set apart that Israel is given a new revelation. Joshua is given a new revelation of who God is and what direction to go. You have to be set apart. Church, make sure today that you are set apart. And that's not just a ministry job. That is a Christian life, to be set apart. It also says in chapter 5, verse 9, that God has rolled away the reproach of Egypt. And that rolled away is referring to the disappointment and the disapproval of what they had been tied to. It's their past. We've been talking about new things, new promises, new seasons. Make sure you're leaving the past where it is, in the past. You are, and just receive this morning, you are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away and new things have come. And we're looking at the person of Jesus this morning, and it is the chief cornerstone of who he is and what he does, that you have also been raised from death to life. Know who you are by knowing who he is. He is the warrior God who fights for you, and he fights with you. And with that, most of us, that means he fights by our side. But I know some of us, we actually fight with Jesus. Not a lot of amens, just some laughing. But church, watch this. When he wins, you win too. Make sure you lose that battle. Let's jump to verse 13 in that same chapter. I'm going to read it. Verse 13 says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." Now let's notice first that there is a private encounter with heaven before a public role at Jericho. Church, if you want to be greatly used by the Lord, you must have a great relationship with the Lord. Luke 8:17 says this, "For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all." The submission, the humility, the obedience of Joshua was about to be made known and clear to the rest of the world. Don't for a second think that all the things you're doing in private for the Lord are not for a purpose. God sees, and he honors that. Luke 16:10 says this, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." Church, God cares about our character. Cares about our character in private as much as he cares about it in public. In fact, he is working on us to make us more like Jesus. And I know we all know that here, but do we really remember that all the time? That we're supposed to be, to live, to act like Jesus. And I know some of us have not made it yet. You might be awful close, but between you and me, that person next to you probably needs a little work. I know I do. But verse 13, we see that Joshua lifted his eyes and looked. He was aware of his surroundings, enough to see what the Lord was doing. Church, are we looking for what God is doing? Are we looking for what he's doing? It doesn't say that he was startled. He was probably surprised, but he was prepared for something to happen. He was looking. And Joshua sees this man with a sword drawn. And what does he do? He walks toward him. And I'm gonna say this, that's usually not a good idea. If you see a man with a sword drawn, please, your pastors are saying, don't go up to that man. But in this case, it was what the Lord wanted. So we know this, though, that the Lord is speaking. Okay, this is what we call a Christophany, and that is where Jesus shows up in person before the event of his birth in the New Testament. It's a Christophany. He is called here the angel of the Lord. But I want to key in on one of the words in verse 13, the word opposite. And I want to key in there because sometimes we do that in a real sense. We can actually stand in opposition to what God is doing. We can stand in opposition. But did you know that God doesn't want to do everything that I tell him to do? Can you believe that? It's remarkable sometimes to me because I can be positive, absolutely positive, that I know what is best for me. Does anybody else feel like that sometimes? But I come to this point where I have to admit, or my wife helps me to admit, that I am wrong. You have husbands say amen to that? She often hears from the Lord before I do. But we see that Jesus is standing with his sword drawn. He is ready to fight. He is a warrior. And a drawn sword here symbolizes that he was about to go into battle. He was ready to fight. Joshua did not know that this was God. Okay, watch this. He did not know that this was God. He just recognizes that this was a being far greater than him. We know that this was God looking back because of what we know now through the word. But Joshua asks a question. Are you for us or for our adversaries? And Jesus just says, no. Have you ever had a child ask you a question with, you know, both answers are wrong? I sometimes ask my daughter, what do you want for lunch? And she says, well, that's, you know, that's easy. It's candy, cookies, or chips. No. None of those are right. But you see, Joshua didn't know that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Church, Jesus is fighting the battles that you can't see. We think and feel that he's fighting what we see, and he is to a certain degree, but he's fighting so much more than that. He's fighting things off that we don't even know about. That's why it's important to partner in prayer with the Holy Spirit, to pray things that we might not even realize are going to happen or are happening. And that's why it's important to answer the question that is really being asked here. Joshua is asking the question, is Jesus on my side? And Jesus is asking, Joshua, are you on my side? Are you on my side? Because that's who's really in charge. Church, God wants to ask us that same question. Are you on the Lord's side? Are you on your own side or on his side? Church, you can work, plan, fight all you want, but you need to have a revelation of who God is. I need to have a revelation of who God is. Jesus is the commander of the army of the Lord. And we are on his side. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for the next season. He has a plan to break walls down. He has a plan to lift you up to the very promises of God. But you have to know who is in charge. And let him be. And what does that then look like? In verse 14, it shows Joshua falling on his face in worship. Now, because I love worship, I would love to tie this to a worship service. Because I do believe God should be worshiped on your face. And I do believe that worship prepares a heart for greater battle, but the actual translation of this moment is bowing in honor, in submission to someone greater than you. And that is important. That perspective is important because we need to take from this story that we have to honor God. And we honor God by following his plans. Following his plans. We also recognize the complexity of that, that sometimes it is hard to follow the plans of God. Sometimes they seem crazy and hard to follow. But when we follow them, he is not only honored, we are victorious. We are victorious. So Joshua falls on his face and then asks, "What does the Lord say to his servant?" You see, part of preparing, part of submission, part of fighting is first listening. Listening. What is God actually saying to do? I remember one moment in my life where a person of authority over me was spreading lies and rumors and all these things. And I remember specifically God just telling me to say nothing. And how many of you know that that's hard, to say nothing? Pride kind of wells up a little bit, and you must, the truth will prevail. I will tell them the truth. But what I didn't know was God was fighting for me. He was fighting, and me just being in silence let him work. And it eventually came out that that person had been doing secret things, and they were had let go of and all this. But the conclusion of that was that my character grew because I trusted God. And then God elevated me to a place of trust with my peers because I was willing to keep silent. God really knows best. But then the Lord says to Joshua in verse 15, "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy." Joshua also had to come to a place of humility. And when we humble ourselves, and that's always a choice, God reveals himself to the humble. He reveals himself to the humble. And church, I'm gonna say, you are welcome to amen. You are welcome to amen. If you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, just give that a little shout out. But when Joshua took off his shoes, God made known the object and reason of his coming. So when we choose to humble ourselves, God has a clear path to make known why he is doing what he is doing. There is revelation in humility. There is revelation in humility. James chapter 4, 6 and 7 says, "God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." A key to victory is humility. When we submit to God, resisting the devil, he has to flee. And church, I don't know about you, but my favorite type of fight is where the enemy flees. This also harkens back for Joshua when his mentor met with the Lord at the burning bush. Moses took his sandals off of his feet. So to Joshua, this was a sign that told him again, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you." This moment is a fulfillment of promise for Joshua. Because when you're walking with God from promise to promise, you never have a reason to doubt. From promise to promise. That in the same way God was with the burning bush, the same way God has a sword drawn for battle with Joshua, church, God is with you. He is with you. Make sure you are on his side. Because like we're about to see, he wants to bring some walls down. He wants to bring some walls down. The walls. Chapter 6, verse 1. I want to note that God sees what is going on. Remember that. God sees what is going on. He also sees what is before you and going on in your life. He doesn't miss a thing. He does not miss a thing. He says, "Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." Church, God saw that Jericho was secure, meaning Israel can't do it without God. And Jericho was the oldest continually inhabited city on earth that we know of. And as far as we know, it had never been breached. It was known for its defenses. But church, God likes to do things that have not been done before. what is viewed as impossible. Watch this. What people saw as being secure, nothing going out or coming in, God sees that God just stopped the flow of the enemy from going out and coming in. What you see as impossible, impassable, and improbable, God sees as doable, defeatable, and done. In verse 2, it says this, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king, and the mighty men of valor.'" First off, we have to see. Okay, some of us need to make sure our eyes are seeing what God sees. And then, watch this, we have to realize that God speaks in the past tense here, is as in it is already done. Israel has to go and take it, but God has already declared the victory. And church, you might need a God-declared victory this morning. That happens when we expect victory. And note also that God gave the ruling authority of that area over to Israel, its king and its mighty men. Church, when God leads you into a battle, he not only gives you victory, but he gives you dominion and authority over that place. The battles, the walls, the struggles in your life, you're meant to take complete dominion and authority over. That is what you are meant to do. To move on into the next battle. Church, don't be stopped by refusing to take the dominion and authority that you are meant to walk in through Jesus. Through Jesus. Now, to take a city or a challenge in your life, it requires the will to do what God has told you. The will to do what God has told you. Verse 3 through 12 is Joshua explaining to Israel what they're supposed to do and then them going out and doing it. They take up the Ark of Testimony or the Ark of the Covenant. It's God's presence. They have men armed for war in front of the Ark. They have a rear guard behind the Ark. They have seven priests in front of the Ark blowing seven trumpets. And then they're supposed to be quiet the whole time and finally shout, and at the very end, the walls will come down. Church, don't be afraid to do something that doesn't look right, that looks a little crazy, if it's God. Make sure it's not you just being crazy. We don't want your crazy. We love you, but we don't want that. Watch this. Marching around a city every day instead of planning about how to take it and fight seems counterproductive to me. Man's wisdom says, don't waste your time. You will look like a fool. But in 1 Corinthians 1, 27, it says this, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the mighty. Church, what God has decided will win the day. Whatever that looks like. Now think about this. I believe according to the text, they were supposed to not say anything for 7 days. What I think a lot of people feel or think about at first glance is just when they were walking around. When you go walk around Jericho, don't say anything. But I don't think the text says that. I think the text says, do not speak for 7 days. How many know that would be a lot harder? The only sound the enemy could hear was the trumpets blasting. The trumpet blast could mean several things. It could mean, well, watch this. Israel probably didn't know what it meant. I'm going to say that first. Israel did not know what it meant. They were just blowing the horns. Okay? It could have been signals to the camp, signals of war. It could have been just using their worship. It was used in all those ways. Church, you might not know what God is doing or why you are doing something, but as long as you bring your worship, your preparation, and your war cry, God is going to do the rest. And some of those men might have been blowing it for all these different reasons. But what they didn't know was God was just hearing it as obedience. It could have been in worship. It could have been a war cry. It could have been a preparation to advance the camp. But church, watch this. You don't have to know everything. You just have to obey. And holding our tongues while allowing God to speak was the beginning of the battle. Church, some of us, that is the battle. But watch this. It didn't allow doubt. It didn't allow fear. It didn't allow worry to spread, because all that they knew that was that everyone else was okay with this plan. We're all not going to speak. It created unity in their body. Church, as your family or as a church, as Christians, if you want to advance, watch what you say. And if you don't know what to say, grab a trumpet and blow. Some might see it as a cry for war, cry to advance, or a cry in worship. But don't cause disunity. Don't cause disunity. Now, up till now, they had walked around Jericho one time every day. But on the seventh day, they got up early. And there it is again. We said that a couple weeks ago. Sometimes you just got to get up early if you're going to see things done. But now, most scholars believe that the number seven is God's number of perfection and completion, because it's just used so often throughout the word for those things. So they were told to walk around on the seventh day seven times while in silence, blowing seven trumpet horns with seven priests. Until, it says, it was time. It was time. Church, God had an appointed time that he was going to move. It was appointed. It was done. This might be a season of trial for you, but I want to encourage you that God has an appointed time that he is going to move. And he is already working in that direction. I want to encourage you, church, see it through. It is appointed. It is time. But they had to get up a little earlier. They had to walk a little farther. Their faith had to be stretched a little bit more before the walls fell down. And in verse 16, it says this: "And the seventh time, it happened. It happened. When the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" On the seventh time, the time of completion, it happened. It happened at the appointed time. And in verse 20, it says this: "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, then the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up to the city, into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." But watch this, church. The people shouted before the walls fell down. Before the walls fell down. Sometimes God expects us, he wants us to shout the walls down as we partner with him. A shout of victory, a shout of triumph, a shout of faith that God will and is moving. Now watch this. I want you to think about how the walls fell down. Scholars don't know for sure. Some think an earthquake. Some think they just fell over. Some think that God just kind of pushed them over. I'm gonna let you know what I think and why. Back in chapter 5, verse 14, we looked at this scripture a while ago. We had the angel of the Lord, Jesus, describing himself as the commander of the army of the Lord. This is not referring to Israel. It's referring to angels, to heavenly hosts. So you see that the commander of the army of the Lord had his army there. So I think that God was planning to use his army. His army was there. And when the walls fell down flat, this is just what I believe, just reading through the scriptures, that the army of the Lord pushed all the walls over. It doesn't really matter what happened there. This is just, they fell over. And this is what I think. Allowing Israel to go up and take an unsuspecting city, When God moves, the enemy is not ready for all that God can do. He's not ready for all that God can do. And one of the greatest things you can remember is that God is not bound by any rules that we're bound by. He's not bound by nature. He created. He could do whatever he wants. He operates on a realm that we do not see. So you have angels pushing down the walls, except, watch this, one place where a certain woman lives. In my imagination, maybe there's an angel on the opposite side and he's holding up this one place. But you have the warrior savior breaking down all these walls to take a city, and you have one woman that clung to the promise of salvation. Verse 22 through 25 tells the end of the story that started back in chapter 2 with a woman named Rahab. A woman that decided to switch sides, to be on the Lord's side. She had helped the people of God. She had clung to the promise that she would be saved. But how was she saved then? We see in verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, "I know that the Lord has given you the land." This is Rahab talking to the children of Israel, to two spies. "That the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you." Church, even the enemy knows that God has given you the victory. Even the enemy knows that. That's why he's fighting so hard. Not that we don't have to go and take it. Not that the things aren't hard, the things don't always work out how we want or think they should, but the victory of this life is the presence of God that goes before, behind, and around you. And whatever season you're in, whatever plans God has for you, they are plans of victory to take dominion over the area in front of you. But I want you to see this beautiful point in verse 18. When we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. Church, the Bible works seamlessly together throughout time. A scarlet cord was her mark of salvation. A scarlet cord, whether it be a bloodstained cross, a robe dipped red, or a scarlet cord, it represents the God who saves. And we tie our hope to that. And maybe there's some walls around you that are falling down. But watch this. Maybe God needs to take some walls that are around you in order to bring you out. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes there are walls around us that Jesus wants to break down in order to bring us out to the promises of God. Sometimes the things we go through are to bring us out of where we are walled in. And just like this woman Rahab, you cling to the promise of salvation. We cling to Jesus. And I love the rest of verse 18 because watch this. She brings her whole family in. Her family is saved by that scarlet cord. You're turning to Christ can save your family. But I'm not talking about going to church. That's part of it. Yeah, you need to be part of a church body. I'm talking, though, about a real, authentic relationship with Jesus. The one who breaks down walls expects you to have enough faith to see the impossible happen. Because that's what he does. You've heard it before. The woman went from being a prostitute on the wrong side of town to being in the very lineage of Jesus Christ. And I want to point this out, that Jesus broke the walls so far down that she could not go back. She could not go back. Church, it is not too late to do an entire turnaround for Jesus to break down all the walls. You just cling to that scarlet cord. I'm going to invite the worship team and the prayer team to come. I'm going to ask if we could stand across this place because I want to note that the promise maker is also the promise keeper. I'm going to say that again. The promise maker is also the promise keeper. If you are going through something and you feel like you need to fight, make sure you know whose side you are on. I'm going to welcome you to come down and dedicate or rededicate your life to being on the Lord's side. He will fight for you. You just have to be on his side. And then if you are in a place where it feels like you need some walls broken down in your life to get through, Jesus wants to break those walls down. It could be health. It could be finances. It could be addiction. It could be financial. It could be mental. Whatever it is, if there's a struggle before you, he's the wall breaker. And then finally, if you need to cling to the promise of salvation. Maybe Jesus needs to break you out of some walls or break your family out of some walls. Then I want you to feel welcome to come and we will pray that your family is saved. Can you say amen to that? Church, he is the promise maker. And I invite you to come and know him as the promise keeper. As the worship team starts to play, let's go into an atmosphere of worship. And if you would like prayer for any of these things and anything else, we would love to pray with you. If you want to know Jesus for the first time, if you don't know him, then he is the most amazing thing that you will ever do and need. Let's go into worship a little bit.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.